You didn't go out to your door and say,
are you gonna have to get Roy?
Roy wants to come on. Do we want to bring him on?
Yeah, he's quiet and bring him on.
Podcast, your source for West Coast sports. We got another episode for you. We're jumping into our DMs. You can hit us up at WST_podcast on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email, WSTpodcastshow@gmail.com. Kaywin, you and myself have been drilling through a lot of questions. We picked out four that we thought were relevant for this episode.
So and before we get into these questions, I just want to let you know we're sponsored by 88 Acres. Powered by the Seed Bar. Get yourself a Seed Bar. I just had a banana power bar, Seed Bar. I just had a banana Seed Bar, and I'm ready to go.
12 grams of protein. All right, so why don't we get into the questions that we've got. I think they're all relevant to the West Coast. And we'll mention who they came from. There's a little dialogue in between, but we'll jump right in. So this comes from Terrell Weagle from Columbia, South Carolina. He says he listens to the show. He told us to stop picking fights with the SEC. You'll lose every time.
Never.
And we don't know how long the season will be, but if it's 50 games, will the Mariners make the playoffs?
I don't care if it's 182 games, the new 76 games, or 10 games. I'm sorry. The Mariners aren't making the playoffs. I'm a West Coast guy. I love T-Mobile Park. I fell in love when it was Safeco Park. I love the M's. I love the Ichiroll. But I do not like the talent that is on the baseball field. Seager's got a bad contract. He's got two more years. M's owe him at least $30 million. Their best player's Haniger. He's hurt. I think they have to start over. I think they have to trade or sit Seager. And I think it's going to be a bad, ugly year.
What I'm hoping is that at Sports Illustrated comes out with a cover letter or a cover that says, Mariners win the World Series 2024, because that may be accurate. They have a lot of young talent, Kaywin. So Kyle Lewis, Jake Fraley in the outfield, Evan White, who just signed a contract, almost a long-term contract, without even playing in the majors. I'm a huge Mariners fan, Kaywin.
Yeah.
I've had tickets now for since
season tickets.
15 game and then half game. I won't go full game unless they make the playoffs. You'll see me full game. But I will say this, with the young outfielders, and they got Marco Gonzalez, the key here is just a shuttle field and a lot of their guys in the minor league system. So they only had one to two top 100 minor league players in the entire system, MLB system, farm system. As of late, they've had five, six. So there's some emerging talent, some emerging players. It's all going to be about how they assimilate in the MLB. Now back to the original question, will they make the playoffs? It would be convenient for the Mariners to make the playoffs, the longest standing team to not make the playoffs, I think, in all the big four sports in a year where it would come with an asterisk. Do I see it happening? Similar to you? No. Too young, too soon. 2024, Mariners will make the playoffs.
Well, the Mariners started out last year, which seems like a decade ago, 13-2. And they had, you know, they had D. Gordon, they had Jay Bruce, they had a lot of veterans that were kind of plugging the gaps, but those veterans got traded and they're moving on. They're headed towards the youth. And because of that, I'm going all in on 2024 as well.
I like it. All right. What do we got? Next mailbag question. This comes from Chris in Kalispell, Montana.
Ooh.
So he says, WST, love the show. When the Pac-12 expands to Montana, Grizzlies and Bobcats will win the big Pac-12 East, Pac-16 East, maybe Pac-20 East. Who knows?
I'll say it again. Why are we selling for Montana? Let's go after Texas and Oklahoma.
Apparently, he loves the Montana schools. Being from Kalispell, how can he not? His question, Chris from Kalispell says, does the COVID pandemic help Pac-12 recruiting?
I think it does. If you look at, 2021, right now, USC's a top four in terms of recruiting class. Oregon is 10, and neither one of them have a five-star recruit. But if I go through my notes, I think USC has 10 four-star recruits. Oregon has about 8. So these players are staying close to home, and it's benefiting USC and Oregon. We just need the rest of these five-star and four-star recruits to go to Stanford, Washington, and let's get the Pac-12 back.
You said it at one point. Larry Scott may have invented COVID for this reason. And that, not to make light of COVID, but you're right. When we look at basketball even too, and the prominence there, you have USC in the 2021 class currently at number one.
Ooh.
So not only that, but you have Loyola Marymount in the top 10 as well with 3 3-star recruits. Ooh. And there's just some names. You've got Reese Dixon, Waters from Playa del Rey, Malik Thompson from La Verne, both 4-stars, and then Harrison Hornier, oddly enough, weird last name, but we'll run with it, for Mater Die. So all California recruits, at least from a basketball sense, staying in state, which is going to be huge for the Pac-12 relevancy. When's the last time you were a recruit and you're like, hey, why am I going to Kansas? Well, they got a really good basketball team and I can hang out and it's fun during basketball season, right? Hey, it's tough. Kentucky sees it tough, but in terms of developing both sides of the sport. But hey, I'm all for it. If kids are going to stay close to home, which I think we'll see, especially maybe in the transfer portal and them coming back, I think the Pac-12 absolutely benefits. There's no way they can't.
Yeah. Well, if you look at basketball and football, most of the 5-star athletes and most of the elite talent comes from California, Texas, Florida, and Washington. And you have to be able to recruit in your backyard and get these kids to stay home if you want a chance to be in the BCS Bowl or in the national championship game for basketball. Look at Clemson. They've been there, and you know what they're doing? They're hijacking our recruits from California. Bama's got all these Cali guys. Like, we're losing because we're losing out on recruits. We need to get these kids to stay at home. And if we do, I think we're headed back to a BCS Bowl or even the Final Four.
Or both. It's been a while.
It's been too long. So if we get to our next question, it's Anthony from San Carlos. He says, hey, guys, I heard your football and finance episode with Jed Collins. You talked about Vegas. You talked about football. We got Vegas reopening. Now we want to talk a little bit about the Raiders. So the Raiders, with their first year in Sin City, the over-under on wins for the Raiders is at 7.5. Big Ben and Kay Wynn, are you going over? Are you going under? And tell me why. # Raider Nation.
So if I am in the MGM sportsbook, I don't even need to have a cocktail on me. I'm going taking the over. Wow. I'm walking right up. And here's why, Kaywin. We've talked about Carr having some weapons. He now has the weapons necessary since when they went 12-4. So he's got Ruggs, Renfro. People forget about Renfro. He's the next coming of Julian Edelman in my mind.
Ooh.
They got Waller emerging as
the tight end. Does he have the hair like Edelman? Does he have the good flow?
You know what? I think he's a little he went to Clemson. I won't even touch that. They got Williams, Josh Jacobs in the backfield, who only get better, in my opinion, the second year. Barring any injuries, Kaywin. And this goes back to Anthony. Anthony, get your money ready. Get cash. Go up, because the last 4 games, Kaywin, and if I look at this from a Las Vegas Knights perspective, they won, I think, 75% of their home games in the original season. Golden Knights, I'm saying, in the hockey. Well, 3 out of the 4 last games are at home, and they're against the Colts, Chargers, and Dolphins.
Ooh, some home cooking.
Some home cooking, and by that time, I would expect Las Vegas to be wide open for them to go have a lot of fun a few nights that they're in town and not show up on the football field. So here's my thing. If they're at 6 wins by the time those last 4 games, absolute lock. Absolutely. And there very well could be more. So, Anthony, put your money up. Put it on the over. winning all day.
Not so fast, Anthony. Actually, I'm riding the fence on this one. If you look at five of the first seven opponents could potentially be playoff wins. So let's dig into this a little bit. Week one, they got to go to Carolina. Are they winning that? Week two, it's the Saints in Vegas. Are they winning that? Week three, where do they go? They got to go out to Foxborough. Week four, it's against the Bills, who just picked up Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen going to his third year. The Bills have a great defense. And then after that, they play the Chiefs. So in the first 5 weeks, they could go 2-3. And I'm saying that's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, they could go 1-4, headed into the bye week. And then after their bye week, they've got Tampa and Cleveland. So if they split one of those and we're going best case scenario, that's 3 wins. And then here's where I do like the back half of the schedule is because they got to play the Chargers twice, the Broncos twice. They play the Chiefs at home. They play the Dolphins. They play Indy. They play the Jets. So I think it's going to be so close. Last year, the Raiders went 7-9. I'm going under. I'm sorry. I think they're going to be 7-9 again. I think they're going to get off to a tough start, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I'm sorry. I'm going under, Anthony.
The thing you forget is Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have never been to Vegas during a game week. You can't sit in your hotel room, I don't care what you say, and just say, I'm going to go to bed early in Vegas. When's the last time you went to bed in Vegas before midnight?
Never, but exactly. I don't play in football games, but it's the same thing. Like these players go to New York, they go to New Orleans. There's stuff to do in those cities.
No,
these are pros. The Bills are pros. Josh Allen is a pro. Stephon Diggs, he's got his mind on that ring. He's not going to, I don't know, Circus.
Experiment.
Pure. Whatever those clubs are. I haven't been to Vegas in a while.
All right, let's touch on our last one.
And our final question comes from Jackie from Encinitas. Hey, guys, love the show. Just listen to your over-under episode. And Kay Wynn is all about the Clippers. He talks way too much about the Clippers and doesn't talk about the Lakers. Don't you guys know that L.A. is a Lakers town and the Clippers are our little redheaded stepbrother? So my question, Big Ben and Kay Wynn, when the Lakers win the NBA title this summer, will you guys proclaim LeBron as the best basketball player of all time? Hashtag the GOAT. Hashtag I'm out. Whoa, Jackie, stick around. We'll give you a little answer here.
Well, I can't speak for Roy because he can't speak. But what I will say, Kay Wynn, one thing I do know is Jordan, the tipping point right now for me is the shoe game. Ooh. No one comes around and says, are those fresh new LeBrons? No. Jordan's got that over LeBron all day. Now, what I will say also in respect to who they are as a player, it's that you don't really see other players around the league voting LeBron is the best player of all time. Maybe that's due to, you know, their own respect and where they think they are in the league. But if you think about what happened in The Last Dance, and all these players on the Dream Team saying, listen, if Jordan wanted to score, he'd go score. This is in practice, this is in games. If you got it riled up, game over. And so for me, I guess I'd have to lean with Jordan. And probably titles, playoffs, and so forth, 2 three-peats. I don't know, Jackie. I'd love to hear her vote. But let's hear yours, K-Win.
You said it best. Jordan does have a better shoe game. Even though LeBron did borrow a style from Ken Griffey Jr.'s high tops where the Nike swoosh, those are fire. But besides that, Jordan's got better shoes. And if you look at the data, Jordan has 6 rings, 6 finals MVPs, 5 MVPs. But here's what stands out in my opinion. Jordan had Defensive Player of the Year, an award, and he was a 9-time All defensive team, first team. I don't think LeBron has ever been all defense. And I know he hasn't won defensive player of the year. So because of that, if LeBron does win this summer, he'll have 4 rings. Jordan still has 6. He has 2 more. And then I also would put Kobe in front of him as well. Kobe's got 5 rings. Kobe has 1 three-peat. And Kobe only has 1 MVP, but he was playing with Shaq. So even if LeBron wins his 4th this summer, I'm still going Jordan. I'm going Kobe. I'm going LeBron. LeBron's been in the finals 7 times and has won 4. Like, you don't get a prize for being the GOAT for coming in 2nd and losing. So LeBron's a great player. Jackie, I think he's one of the best. I mean, right now, I got to see at least 2 more rings before I proclaim him the GOAT.
Bold prediction. Bronny is better than LeBron.
Ooh.
And we'll have to wait for 2027.
Wow, little Bronny.
Little Bron. All right. I like it. On behalf of Roy, he's reminding you to email us, WST_podcastshow@gmail.com, WST_podcast on both Instagram and Twitter. He gets annoyed if you do not send us DMs. Make sure to ask us questions. We'll cover the mailbag once every 2 or 3 weeks or so. We appreciate those questions from Jackie, Chris, Terrell, and
Anthony.
Anthony. All right.
So and I go out and get your 88 Acres seed bars. WST is brought to you by 88 Acres, powered by the Seed Company. They're delicious. They're nutritional. Sea salt, cinnamon, ginger. They're all good. They're all great. That's what we do to stay on the go and to stay up to speed on our latest nutrition. You can find our podcast everywhere you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We're everywhere and we're out.
Boom.